This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Here we are, Rotators. We are at Arc 11, and I am so excited. This was, I had such a blast on this particular arc. The cast absolutely crushed it. It was so much fun. I got to explore so many cool and intricate little lore moments, and it was just mwah, mwah, mwah. Absolutely loved this particular arc. So this arc has Mike Trapp returning as everyone's favorite Turbine Spizzles Inc. And then we have an appearance from the one, the only Caldwell Tanner of Not Another D&D Podcast, along with, of course, Zach Oyama. This was what an arc. Really, really loved it. Really, really enjoyed it. So I hope that you have as much of a blast as we do. And as always, don't forget to check out the Patreon if you can. We absolutely love and appreciate you being here and listening here. So if you can't be on the Patreon, that is totally fine. But for as little as $5 a month, you will get access to Arc Box. You'll get access to off-leash episodes. You'll get all the episodes in their full and original form. And of course, no ad breaks, which we just love, right? No one likes the ad breaks. So, you know, ditch them. Ditch them. Even if I do impeccable ad reads, if I do say so myself. Then go and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. Links in the description below. But without any further ado, let me stop waffling and get into Arc 11 of the Rotating Heroes Podcast. Mind of the Machine. Take it away, pass me. Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined by the Rotators of the 11th arc, question mark?
That's wild.
That's, 11, I think, where we're at.
11. This one goes to 11.
11, nice. Nice, good reference.
I wonder how many people will, if it's pretty ubiquitous, people know what that is.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
If you don't.
But every now and then that someone's like, I'm 9 and I just want to die.
Right.
Like, 11?
It's just kind of a funny number in general, though. So it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll translate.
Yeah. Rhymes with 7.
I think there's also, like, for those out there who are 9, you know, like, you just got to be okay with not knowing stuff. That's not our fault if you don't know something.
Yeah.
That's up to you to catch up.
Yeah, 100%.
Get up to speed.
Yeah, quit being 9.
Yeah.
How about that?
So you may have heard their beautiful voices already, but let's just go around the table and introduce ourselves. You don't have to introduce your character right now. I think we can leave that to as a little surprise. Though for one of our players, we think people will probably guess.
It's actually a bit of a mystery.
But why don't we start to my right?
Hello, I am Mike Trapp. I am returning with Turbine Spizzles.
Wait, don't say it!
No, I'm joking.
Just kidding.
Oh, shit.
The whole conceit of this podcast is that we never change the characters, right?
Yes.
Sorry, man. We have to cut your laptop in half now.
Yeah. There we go.
The stagnant Heroes Podcast. Yeah.
Nothing ever changes.
Stale Heroes Podcast. We all sit and talk about times when we used to adventure.
Stagnant
my
cowards.
Roots are forming.
And opposite me, we have...
I'll say my name is Zach Oyama. My character is a bit of a mystery, unless you've listened to any other arcs of this podcast.
Which case, you know exactly.
It's Jen. It's probably it's Jen.
And then last but not least, to my left, we have...
Oh, hello. I'm Caldwell Tanner. My character is fully shrouded in mystery and shall remain so until Jasper says it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely don't even know, like... You their don't know. Name.
Yeah.
You don't know how
Do you know my I'm Caldwell? You've met me before.
Caldwell sitting has sort of this sheet over his face.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to breathe, but Jasper said it was necessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the shape of Caldwell.
Very distinctive. Mm-hmm. Does that. Cool.
You can see my breath going in and out.
Yeah.
It's very thick rubber.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of concerned that you're going to pass out in 5 minutes here.
No, I think I'm going to hit that like really great hallucinatory stretch where I'm going to be coming up with some real funny character moments.
Yeah, perfect.
Before I pass out.
Well, Speaking of D&D, why don't we go ahead and get into this adventure? Jin.
Yes.
You have
mystery
since...
revealed.
Fuck. Fuck.
You have been on the road now for a couple of days, having left a pretty traumatic time going back to school, where you managed to locate the second part of the algorithm, this sort of mysterious machine, which seems to have some effect on the obelisks. And you're now traveling to the third and final part, the tip of the God Obelisk itself. Tell me, how do you think Jin would prefer to travel? Would Jin sort of stick to the highways and, like, you know, find little towns and you know, rest for a night in an inn? Or is it, you know, a bit more camping style, say off the beaten track type deal?
I think Jin thinks of himself as like an outdoorsy person, but then like he'll get bitten by a little too many bugs, or like lays down and an ant crawls on him, and he's like, and then we'll just like beeline for the nearest inn.
I feel like you've made a Rookie Creep turn into like one of those little bug eaten, you know, like a little tiny monkey.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Check me.
Just to basically comb you over and like eat the bug.
I felt an itch on the top of my head, and I'm worried.
Yeah.
It might have just been Phantom.
I don't see anything up here. I think you're just getting bitten. You know.
Okay.
Maybe we could just find an inn tonight. That would be fun.
Yeah. If you want to.
I don't mind. I could literally turn into any animal I want, so it's pretty easy for me to negotiate, you know, sleeping anywhere. You know?
Yeah, you can, but just keep the monkey going.
I've been a monkey for like a week, man.
I know. But...
You really get used to flying, you know?
I think the bugs are different now. I think there are more bugs than there were.
More bugs? Do you think I need to be something that eats... What's the most effective bug eater?
Is there a version of you that has six arms?
Six arms?
That kind of monkey.
I'll see. Let's see.
Probably not, but we'll see.
I'll try again tomorrow.
Oh, Bookie Creep.
Yeah.
I just thought of something.
Okay.
I have actually been thinking about this for a little bit.
Okay.
We all know, we don't have to rehash it for a while, but I really beefed it on your name. And
you kind of did. Yeah, and I know is awful.
I don't like saying
introducing myself to people is really kind of, you know, people are like, are you like a bit pervy? Like, what's the
no,
it's difficult for me. My life has been difficult.
I don't like saying it. You don't like being it.
No, I don't.
So let's change it. I thought of a name.
I'd love that.
I thought of a name on the road when I was sort of mulling over kind of book stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it just felt like this one works.
Okay.
But you let me know.
Yeah, I feel nervous right now. I'll be honest. I'm shaking. It's hard for monkeys to sweat, but I am sweating.
Okay, here we go. Just say it. Pull the band-aid up.
Yeah.
Thomas.
Thomas?
Yeah, like Thomas.
Yeah, but Tom. Like a tome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Thomas, okay. Mr. Thomas.
Fuck, now I have to change my character name.
Oh, shit.
Mystery revealed.
Okay, Mr. Thomas. First name Mr., second name Thomas? Is that what
Well, Mr.'s not a name, but it's more of a title.
Oh.
You know, Mr., yeah, that's your first name is Mr.
Okay, perfect, yeah, Mr. Okay, all right. I love it, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah.
Let's go find an inn.
Beautiful. I'm itchy.
With not too much difficulty, you and Mr. Thomas, formerly Bookie Creep, the artist known as Bookie Creep, you find your way to an inn and you settle down for the night. Can you please roll me a d20?
Okay.
Whoa.
13, okay. As you settle in for a night's rest... You see is like these sort of clouds are sort of rolling over sort of the distant Kiptide Mountains, and you know start to sort of wander a little bit. And as you do, you kind of blink for a second and you realize that you're in like a very different room. You're in a very, very different space. And in front of you at a table, there is a small, what you can only assume to be half gnome. He has very gnomish like features, but is taller than you'd expect a gnome to be. You barely can see his face for a shock of just sort of white hair and sort of really scraggly, kind of very electric white kind of beard and mustache, which seems to cover up a lot of his face. And he's sort of hammering away at something. And you kind of, you sort of see that he kind of is regarding you. He kind of looks up at you. And holds up, after sort of banging away at something for a little while, holds up, you see this small necklace, which seems to have sort of all this sort of little clockwork mechanism inside it. And as he holds it up, without even sort of meaning to, some like without you doing it in any way or even having the thought, out of your mouth, the words, "Are you sure this will work? My plan seemed destined to fail. This is my last hope." You see the gnome then looks up at you and says,
"There are no guarantees, but these aspects are like sand. With the right vibrations, they will behave in the way that we expect, sort of sifting from one place to another, and we'll be drawn to those who need it. The tricky part for you, of course, is finding the right vibrations. Are you sure you're ready to take such a drastic step?"
And again, that same feeling where you don't have the thought, but the word "yes" comes out of your mouth. You see that this clockwork necklace gets handed over to you, and as you kind of extend a hand out to take it, you see that your hand seems to be sheathed in pure light. And again, you have that same sensation of blinking, and you are now back in the inn room, and both of your hands are wreathed in light, like kind of glowing. And eventually it sort of dies down, and you, Jin, have leveled up to level 7.
Ooh.
Yes. Congratulations, man.
I got upgraded.
Upgraded. You feel something
you
happened during the process.
You had a little red one that appeared over the icon of you, and you're like, "What the fuck is this?" And it's just like, it's like some bug fixes. And
oh, wow.
You kind of put it off for a while.
I got to do an update tonight.
Yeah, you really got to do that. Yeah,
this is an incredible update. Lakinta.
So as you feel yourself, whatever that dream was, it almost felt like a vision. It was so kind of hyper-realistic. You feel a sort of re-upped connection to Zophine, and you feel yourself becoming stronger. So as you you make your way in the search of this the tip of this god obelisk, kind of guided partly through just the logic of looking at where this thing fell and the sort of trajectory of it, and also just sort of this general sense that the wind is carrying you and the sort of natural instincts seem to be guiding you in this direction, you find yourself finally at the town of Witherfront Haven. Now, Witherfront Haven basically is this sort of last outpost right on the edge of the Endless Halt, and it sort of started out as a mercantile village, which would basically be like a last sort of outpost for you to get a few little bit of supplies before you sort of head into the Endless Halt, as people, explorers and merchants would go into the Endless Halt to try and find rare, you know, resources or items and make a sort of treacherous journey inside of this very dense forest. And sort of over time, it's sort of gradually got a little bit more built up. And so there's like a few collection, maybe 5 or 6, like actual built kind of wooden structures and houses. And there's like an inn and things like that now. But then surrounding Witherfront Haven, there is all of these tents, these sort of non-permanent structures, which, you know, as people rock up and sort of go. So at any one time, Witherfront Haven can be very small, and it can be kind of quite sprawling and large, depending on the season. And
it's like Coachella.
Things like that. It's basically like Coachella. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And you know, through having had conversations and everything, you know that there is a man named Una who runs Witherfront Haven, who's sort of the de facto mayor, if you will. And he'd probably be the best place to start if you are sort of looking to venture inside of the Endless Halt to find this, find the tip of this obelisk. Oh, what do you want me to be today, by the way? I can change. Do you want me to go with something with 6 arms?
How buggy is it over here?
Roll for bugs.
Tick check.
11.
11? It's like a really medium amount of bugs. Like a really just like middle of the road.
Whoa,
normal.
It's so average.
It's so such an average amount of bugs. Maybe like the tiniest bit above average.
Okay, well, you know, I feel like you were the monkey for a little while. If you're feeling bird, go bird.
Okay.
Just maybe like a bird that eat bugs. A bird that eats bugs.
Okay. He turns into a woodpecker. Sits on your shoulder and immediately start pecking at your head.
Can you switch?
Can you? I can't. It's one day a thing. One day thing. One day thing.
At the very least, just don't peck me that hard.
Yeah, but it's kind of, I feel it's sort of in my nature. I feel like I have to peck something, you know?
Well, I put like I put like a little like piece of bark on my neck.
A bit of wood just by your head. It's really fun. I really enjoy this. This is really cool. Look how fast my head's going.
Your cat is like kneading you, just scratching with the hard.
Okay.
One hand there. To...
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Where should we? Should we go and find that Una fella? Or
let's go for Una. I'm gonna be honest. I feel a little self conscious about how presentable I am. I don't often feel like I can go in a place and get like the leader's attention in a way that's not like that feels like I command some sort of presence or authority. So. Ooh. I will give it my best shot, but that's...
I think you're just being too hard on yourself. I think, like, you know, you're a champion of Zophine.
Yeah.
You've got this really important item, which we're kind of carrying around.
You're right. That's going to go a long way.
It's like, you know, we've got stuff to do.
Okay.
We're important people. I think you should, you know, you should feel that.
Okay.
You know, you seem strong. You like, I don't know if it's just maybe you seem a little swoly today, you know?
Jin is like standing up straighter than he's ever stood. And he's like, I've been consciously working on my posture.
Yeah. It's paying off.
Yeah.
It's paying off.
It, yeah. Yeah. I just got to own it. Okay. To Una.
As you head into. Yeah, exactly. As you head now into the sort of like town centery area of where the Front Haven, you do see that there is this huge sort of 6'2" black elf with bald head and this massive kind of repeating crossbow in his hands, and he sort of seems to be giving a bit of a like, he's sort of talking to a few people, directing them in certain direction or whatever, and he sees you coming and Amina's like, oh, all right, how's it going?
It's
Una, pleasure to meet you. And gives you like a big, like firm predator handshake.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Your hand, it's quite large.
Yeah, I've been told.
Yeah.
Well, what brings you to Witherfront Haven, friend?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Let me just off the bat, champion of Zophine. My name.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Didn't realize there were still people that worship Zophine.
It's coming back. There was a bit of a soft spot, and now we're going.
Nice.
We're actually getting back into it pretty hard, and
that's very
important. But my name's Jin, and
hello, Jin. I'm Una.
I'm so excited to meet you.
Okay.
Look, this is important. We're having an important business meeting.
Right. And, just in the middle
Jin's flop sweating a little bit.
Okay. How about, you know, hey, look.
We're both professionals.
Overstep. Haven't just met you, but could we maybe if we dialed it down a little bit, you know, from business to sort of slightly more of a casual sort of, you know,
Jin's nodding really fast.
You give me a bit of information. You know, that might work a little bit. You know, I'm sorry, it's just you're almost vibrating with like,
first job out of college energy.
Did so much blood from the woodpecker.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm an adult.
Hey, you're really getting the hang of it now.
All right, we're starting over again. I'm trying to, you know, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
I'm trying to collect pieces of this, and I hold out the part of the algorithm, we're trying to stop something really bad from happening.
Oh right,
and,
all right. Yeah.
It felt like the next piece of the puzzle was here.
Right, here specifically with the front.
Well, the god obelisk is. I need it.
Oh, you mean the floaty thing in the woods?
Yeah, the floaty thing. Is that what you guys call?
I'm not really one of them fancy, you know. Last time, it wasn't last time, but a couple weeks ago, we had a couple people go in, and then they were, came out talking about it, and so I went to have a look, so I thought it was just, you know, it was just like a dangerous thing, and I went out and look, and it, you know, it seems fine. It was just a big kind of floating, like, you know, around the obelisk things, but it was, like, smaller, but it was, like, floating. It was pretty cool, actually, yeah.
Totally.
You know, now I think about it, there was a geyser who was around here earlier, came by, what, it must have been, like, a day or two ago. I think he's probably still here. Oh, what was his name? Serpine Tiddlywinks. That was his name, I think.
Writing this down, Serpine Tiddlywinks.
He was obsessed with the obelisks. Yeah. And it was asking all his questions and stuff, and I was just like going right over my head. I didn't have a clue. Do you know what I mean? Little gnome fella. He's got his little weird robot thing with him. Looks like a little car. I don't know. I didn't really understand. Anyway, I could probably take you to him.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I
don't know what you need, and I feel like this interaction isn't doing much for either of us.
Wow.
I think it's great to cut to the chase
on some stuff, and yeah. I think I'm looking for. I'm learning how to be a little more direct like that. So I really respect that, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry.
I didn't know to apologize.
Well,
you know,
well thank you fine. For. I would love to talk to the Serpine guy.
All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. come with me. You get taken through this town. Go ahead and roll me an. Roll me an insight check.
Okay.
Ooh.
Natural 20.
Oh! Okay. Interesting. So, with a natural 20. You, as you're walking through this this space, you feel something that probably like you haven't felt in like a while, which is this sense of there is like it feels like there's kind of like a thick, slightly tense air in this place. And not only that, with a natural 20, there is a lot of people that appear to be looking sort of very like side eye at you.
Mm-hmm.
Not really paying too much attention to Una or the woodpecker, but sort of you, and you even see one or two people look towards the alga, the thing that you just took out. There was like an active like shift in the atmosphere as you like took that out.
I kind of just look around and having noticed that and just kind of put it in my bag. And try to like cover it up like I'm sneaking a Coca-Cola into a movie.
Yeah.
like, hey, Thomas.
Sorry, I've kind of forgot.
Bookie creep.
No, Thomas. Thomas, please.
Okay.
Mr. Thomas.
I do kind of like bookie creep.
No, please.
Okay, Thomas.
Okay.
Listen, can you keep your head on a swivel? I feel like people are eyeing my stuff.
I definitely can. And he starts like vibrating around in a circle.
Thank you. Please on the bark. Little pinpricks in my neck.
And then you're guided towards a relatively sort of small tent, but you can hear some sort of activity coming from the inside. And Mike, would you like to go ahead and describe what Turbine is up to right now?
Last time we saw Turbine, he's looking like a little bit he's got more facial hair than last time. And he is still drinking. He got that first taste of cocktails. And Turbine is like simultaneously like he's like shaking up a cocktail while he's also taking notes on like a little like he's got like a thing shoved in the ground that's just like beeping and booping and spinning. So he's like running like some kind of like scientific experiment here, but is also like multitasking enough to be like have like little umbrellas that are like falling down and like going to drink and just like totally engaged in like the 20 different things he's doing.
Wow.
And obviously importantly a bearded gnome.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I think for Jin actually not that dissimilar from the gnome that you saw. In sort of facial features and everything like looked kind of similar.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, 32. Red.
Like an Instagram influencer making coffee in the woods.
Yeah.
Amaretto.
Yeah. It's like a one big like cast iron skillet over a fire.
Wow.
Do you really need that many clocks?
No, another woodpecker.
Jen's head is darting from left to right to up to down. All directions as he's like looking at these mechanisms. Wow, it's all definitely crucial to whatever he's doing.
Nothing auxiliary or superfluous.
Hello, Serpine.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
My name is not Serpine.
Oh.
See, Una's just slowly backing out, like...
I introduced myself several times to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Anyway, it's a pleasure
All right, it's
you.
Turbine Spizzlezine.
Bye, see you later, Bin.
Oh, okay. I see. It's Jen. Hi.
Hi.
I was sorry. He told me to come over. Maybe he didn't want to talk to me anymore. Is kind of what I'm realizing.
I see,
but
why would I want to talk to you?
Well, okay. Listen.
I'm just very busy.
Okay, let's roll initiative.
Absolutely. but okay. Well, let me just take a step back. I'm interested in trying to get into the God Obelisk. Are you drinking? What's happening right now?
I'm mixing up a cup of cocktails. You want one?
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Pulling levers. And
how much of this is
like?
Is this all?
Mop's shaking some stuff.
All right.
He's speaking spells in there.
I just the fuck Al goes. Moo.
Here you go.
Wow. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's smoking a lot.
I haven't quite worked out the kinks.
Hi. What? Well, smells great. It smells complex.
Thank
Anyways,
you. Yeah,
I gotta
oh
stop
my
talking
god,
about
this is so good.
Well,
he's like
what
dipping
is
his beak in it and just.
Oh, hey, come on. Don't be. Mr. Thomas, listen, okay. I'm out of my depth when I kind of talk about this stuff, but I'm trying to get into the God Obelisk.
Oh, you came to the right person.
Okay, good.
I don't totally know how to get in there either, but there's nothing I love more than the obelisk, and there's no better obelisk than the God Obelisk.
Okay, great. Well, then I want to show you something. Are you cool? I just want to know. I got some weird side
I lean
eyes.
Back, like just strike a pose. Like
it just the thought that anyone would even entertain the idea that Terminator is cool is just like immediately trying to settle into like cool energy. But, yeah.
Listen, I'm not talking. I meant like, are you a bad guy or something? You're obviously really cool.
Thank you. Oh my god, thank you.
I'll take it at face value.
Yeah, that wasn't up for debate.
Oh man, yeah.
This guy's awesome. He's chill. Like he's never been sort of a weird nerd.
Oh my god, you're saying all the right things. This Una was right to bring you over here. I was skeptical at first because you said that you were having a bad conversation or something. But yeah. Man, this is going great.
Yeah. Well, listen, you seem like you know about at least how to make drinks that are really complex. I have something kind of complex to show you. And Jen's sort of just going to look around for a beat and then open his bag and take out the algo.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I think for Turbine, it's like this. It's like one of those moments, and I think especially since the sort of the change to the Clockwork Soul, it's like suddenly it's like your mind goes into like all these kind of computations are happening, and you kind of think back to like now having now explored several different obelisks and like finding some that are sort of like more dormant than others and things like that. You remember that there was very specifically that there was like a few things in every single obelisk which were exactly the same. There is a sort of a space, a kind of like almost like a console that every single obelisk had, which looks like this thing would fit into that perfectly. And you've never known what that console does. You've never been able to turn it on or like power it up in any way, shape, or form.
And let's assume that I, Mike Trapp, did not listen to the previous arc.
Sure.
What is this thing exactly? What does it look like?
The best description that I have for it is it's basically like the that thing from Tenet, like the sort of metal.
And let's assume I, Mike Trapp, did not watch Tenet.
Right, okay.
So there's this multiple times where Jasper has brought up Tenet and everyone's like, huh.
Okay, interesting. Look, it's a way better movie than everyone. Like, people should just see it.
Should we just
think that, like, you know.
Zach's TV's right over there. Should we just watch it?
Like, let's stick
throw it
on and then
I'm going to mute it. Rotate it on the background.
We'll do a little watch along for the rest of this episode. And then, so basically, it's like, imagine all of these kind of like metallic shapes,
great,
which seem to sort of be like
almost like all kind of like stuck together via like these kind of like a sort of metal central kind of metal rod.
Okay.
It's like, you know, they'll be like sort of more of a triangular shape, and it's kind of this like slightly kind of rusty, dull kind of metal, and each shape seems very unique.
Okay.
And like varying degrees of complexity as well.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he kind of pulls this thing out. It's like sort of relatively big. It's sort of like, I'd probably say about a meter currently.
I reach out, like, not even like consciously reaching out to touch it. Just like, yeah.
Hang on. I'm going to bat your hand away a little bit.
And it loosely bats away and it just starts drifting.
I just kind of keep batting it away.
Yeah, it's just like a game of Pong where it's just bouncing.
snap in front of Turbine's face. Hey, up here.
Turbine's like, I could be a kid.
Yeah, give it to me.
Why shouldn't I?
Hey. listen, little worrisome. I'm glad that I'll just make an insight check into his.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, 13.
Correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. Trap, but like I kind of felt like the vibe is like not necessarily malicious. It's extreme slightly like unhealthy amount of curiosity, but like honestly, that might be helpful.
Yeah, you know? It is. You know, if Turbine has literally devoted his entire life, like from young childhood to now, which is still, he's still kind of a child, but like if he's devoted his entire life to the obelisk, and someone has just been like, it's like some super fan being like, here's an episode you've never seen before.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
what the, like, you have to give that to me, right? I need to look at it. Yeah, I need to touch it.
It's like having Christopher Nolan explain Tenet.
yeah. But like in a one-on-one sort of masterclass, online masterclass style.
You get to like really grill him.
And he has answers for everything.
And he's not getting frustrated.
He's very happy to do this.
He's not getting frustrated when clearly I don't understand.
Hey, Turbine. Oh, hey, listen. I just want to... Yeah, you're cool, right?
I strike the same pose.
I'm getting a sense of...
Oh, yeah. This is going
great. Boo here.
Got to figure out how to say this differently.
I will treat that with the utmost care and respect if you let me touch it.
You're not going to destroy the world or anything, right?
I'm not going to destroy the world.
Okay.
I sort of relay the thing about, like, I've been working on obelisks. I've seen things that seem like the other half of this, or like this seems like the key to a keyhole I've seen many times. I just want to get a closer look at it.
Okay.
Maybe taste it a little bit.
Don't taste it.
What?
I've already handed it to you.
I immediately put it on my tongue.
Yeah.
Oh.
As you hand it over,
Medley.
Can I get a very quick perception check from you?
Uh-oh, not one that's good. 11.
11. Turbine, do you still sort of display your clockwork necklace?
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Was the necklace like embedded in me?
Yeah,
as
it was.
Part
yes,
of
I'm just sort of wondering whether you're like covering it up,
got it.
Or like whether it's sort of like out, you know, open.
I think that in this case, it's probably fairly open. It's probably like if I'm working, deep
V-neck.
It's like the unbuttoned. Listen, I'm very cool.
A toddler's deep V-neck shirt.
No, we can absolutely say that, like, it wasn't visible, but every time Jin's asked where the turbine's cool,
he's like,
one button has just got undone.
Another lean.
And the last time Turbine pops a button, I think Turbine
is literally drinking and doing hard labor in the woods with a high expectation that no one gives a shit about what he's doing. It totally tracks for me that he's like kind of like a little loose here.
A little loose and disheveled. You notice that this sort of clockwork necklace, now sort of seemingly embedded into this gnome's chest, is the exact same one from the vision that you saw.
Wow.
But before you have a chance to inquire as to this.
Boss?
Yeah, Ma.
You want to take a look at this?
And you notice that thing that you had stuck in the ground, that sort of like antenna, the beacon, in fact, that you'd found towards the end, I believe, of the first arc,
Second arc,
thank you. A beacon that was placed in the ground starts to like flash.
Ooh.
With like a sort of pulsing kind of red light. And Mop sort of like very handily kind of does a few sort of calculations.
I feel like Turbine's like in his position, it's like he's holding this the algo, and it's all like it's two things that are both like equally
too shiny. You got like an ice cream cone and a piece of cake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't know which one to hold. I can't drop this because that would be bad. Just shove the algo back in Jin.
I think it's like a message or something.
And then Mop starts to, in time with the flashes, starts to make a little noise. And as this is happening, you, Turbine, can go ahead and roll me a... we'll say this is like a tinkering check, ooh, basically, to see if you can, like, decipher this message. So that'll be your proficiency plus your intelligence.
That is a 5, but I get plus 6, so that's 11.
A 5, okay, for 11. Okay, with an 11, I think you sit sort of looking and hearing the this like over and over again, and you're sort of starting to like hear some patterns and everything. And I think with an 11, rather ominously, the only part of the message that you manage to kind of decipher is the word, the name Jin, and then the word spotted.
Do you either have people looking for you or patterns on your skin that are worrisome?
Well, there are a lot of bugs in the woods.
Okay.
And I
could they make you spotted, or is this a verb?
I don't know, check, please.
Oh, God.
Jin lifts up the back of his
shirt. I've never seen anything more horrifying.
Is it bad? I've been itching a lot, scratching a lot.
Well, you also got a bird pecking at you.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's talking.
Wait. Listen, I guess more to the point, yeah, people are probably looking at for me, I guess.
I think...
This seems like world-ending possibilities, or it could be happening.
We picked up a message here that says that... It says either that you've been spotted or you have something spotted on you. I don't really know the context, but I'm assuming it's probably that
either is terrible.
You.
Yeah, I'll give you that those two words are next to each other. So it's a phrase.
So it could be like Jin's spotted scarf is a possibility, but it's probably more likely that
someone has found me.
Someone has spotted you.
Huh. There are people kind of giving me some weird looks earlier. Okay.
Did it have to do with the woodpecker that's pecking your...
No, it had to do with the object that you couldn't stop
touching. I go and reach for it again.
Okay.
You do hear a set of very heavy footsteps outside the tent as the tent flap swings open and you see Una kind of like slightly sweating. Just, all right, something's going on and I don't exactly know what it is, but there's a few people... By a few people, I mean a lot of people who seem to be very interested in your whereabouts, Jin. Now, listen, I've got a policy which I have to uphold, which is that no one person in Witherfront shall be persecuted under my roof, and so I will delay them much as I can, but I think that you should probably move. Like, now.
Okay.
You know?
Well, who are they? Like,
I don't know.
Do they look like they have, like, any sort of... unifying characteristic?
Yeah. They all have these kind of things on their backs which seem to have some sort of electricity that comes off of them. And it doesn't look good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not feeling particularly positive about the idea of fighting them, so I'm going to try and talk to them and hold them off as long as I can. But then it's kind of just over to you, really. Because when I say there's a lot of them, I mean there's a lot of them.
Wow, so okay. If you want to just, like, let me hold on to that thing there, I can hold on to that, and that's probably what they're after, and I could just, like, hang on to that as long as you want. Okay.
Well, hey, I want you to have this, and Jin looks around and doesn't have anything immediately, and just takes his shoe off and goes, this is for you. To Una.
Turbine's like, that's a good shoe.
Una looks at it and kind of goes, sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, I'm gonna
thank you.
I'm gonna go.
Thank you.
Run
Una,
now.
Thank you.
Go. Just get out.
Foot's wet.
All right, let's go.
You know what?
I'll just hold on to it.
I think
you,
thinking
right?
about his vision, he's like, yeah, I think you can hold on to it. I trust you with that. Is going to wait. Where do we even go?
So I think as this message is still kind of so the flashing is still happening. You do see that the beacon, very, very, very sort of faintly. You've probably been tracking this for a while. And so you had like a, I think you, Turbine, have like a pretty good indication of the direction within the Ender's Hold you need to head in order to get to the God Obelisk.
Okay.
Because the beacon has been kind of like pointing you there, and the closer you've been getting, the sort of stronger the signal's been getting. It's just that, like, you know, you've probably just been resting for a couple of days, doing a few last things before you like head into the Ender's Hold, because it's quite a big and sort of dangerous, you know, thing to undertake.
Do I have a sense that like I can get into the God Obelisk?
Yeah, I think you do. And also, I think on top of that, you do know, you are aware that every obelisk does have a sort of set of sort of self-defense kind of mechanisms, which you have in the past been able to actually like turn on.
Okay.
So like you do think that potentially the obelisk could also provide you with some refuge.
Okay.
Should you be able to get there?
I actually think I know somewhere we can hide.
Okay. Yeah. Anywhere.
The obelisk.
I guess, I mean, I don't...
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
I wish we got to head that way.
Dora, like, very hurriedly is, like, packing
stuff
up.
Can we help you with this? This feels like there's a lot to do.
Big wheels. trying to fold down the, like, tent poles.
Just hit Una outside to be like, run! No!
Okay. One last umbrella in the drink and, like, get going.
All right, let's go.
Puts, like, a screw-top lid on, like, a cup of, yeah,
like a soup thermos, but yes, it's just full of margaritas.
Low priority, but if we see a shoe on the way, let me know.
Sure, yeah. Roll me a luck check.
Okay, 18. 18,
100%. As you exit the tent, someone's got like someone's put up a washing line where they're like
and someone's just, wet shoe!
Like, there's just two like really like thick, heavy boots that were wet that are dangling from a line.
I'll take both, sorry.
Hey, that's my shoe!
I throw my other shoe back.
Get on, mop!
It's not going that fast.
Yeah, Bob's just like weighed down by both of you. It's just not going.
I'm going to run.
Okay, that's fine.
As you kind of run out of the tent, you now hear, sort of from behind you, you can hear there's a bit of a commotion going on. You actually do hear a sort of distant explosion.
That's probably fine.
You see a little plume of smoke comes up behind you, and as you get get toward the edge of the woods, now you sort of see these sort of impossibly tall trees now, which sort of delineates sort of the real beginning of the Ender's Hold. And as you sort of make your way through the first line of trees, you immediately notice that signal is getting like a lot stronger. Like it's almost like as soon as you broke into the Ender's Hold, the signal sort of gets much clearer in terms of the direction that you're heading. Off to sort of the right hand side, you just hear and see this sort of imposing, kind of quite tall looking orc with these big sort of tusks. Looks over towards you, and you see that he's got this kind of like old school, almost like scuba suit. This sort of thick, kind of rusty metal-looking suit. This staff in one hand, which seems to connect. There's like a cable that connects back to this sort of huge sort of thing on his back, which has these two kind of like pylons sticking out of the top, and there's like energy kind of crackling between them. And he looks at you, and you hear he goes, "Ah, Jean, it is you. I have waited so long for this moment, and by so long I mean." Sort of like a little while ago when I got the message to come find you.
I was about to say, I don't know you.
Now I'm going to kill you. And you see, he looks over to the side and goes, "Hey," I said, "now I'm going to kill you. That's your cue! Come out there! What are you doing? You're making me look stupid."
"Okay, here I come.
You see, why don't you tell us what your little guy looks like.
"Sorry, I was busy producing a weapon."
You see this little orb, this like kind of bronze orb, rolls out, and then as it enters this arena, arms and legs erupt from the sides of it, and you see that it's got this like big kind of mouth chamber that looks like a big row of golden teeth, and you hear this like weird grinding noise inside, and then all of a sudden the eyes go ding. You see the teeth open up, and a warhammer ejects out of it. You see this little orb grabs the warhammer, flips it around, prepares to attack, and says, "Okay, weapon procured, ready to attack."
So goes, "This is so cool." Just fascinated by the machinery of it.
You recognize this to be a Modron, something very kind of distinctly linked to the obelisk, and you see that this this guy, he stabs his staff momentarily into the ground, and you see that the pack on his back seems to be sort of drawing energy up through the ground, and as he does, the sort of top of his staff seems to illuminate with this like almost like pure energy, and he kind of looks towards you and says, "Now listen to me. If you hand over that thing that you have, the algo, then perhaps I will let your little woodpecker friend and the tiny gnome live. But you will die."
Sorry, there's a bug in my face.
That was funny, because that was an actual bug.
In real life, a bug flew. Listen, I
am not sure whether this is a French accent or a Spanish accent. I seem to be switching between the two.
I think you're from where you're from.
Exactly. It's a nondescript place.
Yes, only you can answer that question.
Shut up! And he smacks you over the head, like over the back of the dome.
Listen, I'll be honest. I don't love that deal. I don't love it. It's a bad starting place for me.
That is the only deal you have on the table?
Okay. Well, have you thought about...
Let's get out of here.
He sprints away.
Just immediately. As you go to run, you see that you hear this little distant like... And as you look up, a tiny little Modron, a similar, like a little ball, comes flying through the air, hits at the base of a tree, and explodes. And you see this tree kind of... lands, and you hear just a no as you see that this little Modron guy that jumped out and produced the warhammer gets instantly crushed by a tree.
Oh no.
Ow.
You have done it now. You have hurt my little man.
Did I do that?
I think it was you.
I had so many cool things I could have done.
Can I look at the Modron and see if I was like just make an insight check.
Yeah.
Natural 20.
Natural 20. Okay, perfect.
Wow.
As this tree collapses and it kind of squashes you, you feel suddenly this sense of like you, where you've been sort of sat, sort of floating sort of nebulously inside this weird kind of void, infinite void. You suddenly feel your kind of vision like shunts forward, and you kind of feel a kind of bit busted and broken, but like you feel busted and broken. You don't actually, it's not that sort of strange detached feeling that you've had for the last however many hundreds of years. Suddenly you feel actually in control of your body for the first time in so long. And I think that you can kind of see this realization you see as this kind of robot blinking, kind of like it's like the thing of like when someone goes from being possessed like back to themselves, like the sort of pupil, the irises of his like sort of change, you know, it goes from like a lizard's sort of slit eyes sort of thing to like round ones as he kind of blinks open.
Oh my god, thank the muses, I'm finally free. what happened? Thank you. Was it your doing?
Yeah.
Did the muse act through you? Are you the one that has freed me from this bronze prison?
Take credit for it. Do it, man.
The muses flow through us all, right?
Indeed. Yes, you speak the truth.
I think I had a hand in it. Yeah.
Then take this hand as well.
I clasp his hand.
What are you doing, Middle Death Orb 68? Kill him!
You're too late. I will no longer answer to the name Momo 68, for I am Sir Vistel Divinostra, court artisan of the Endless Old, and I am no longer your subject.
What the hell did you do? What's this happening? No, this was supposed to be my cool moment!
I can take a look if you want.
You're ruining it! You're ruining everything! What the hell?
You're saying I'm doing a lot of stuff when I am just happen to be around.
It's entirely you. It's all your fault. This is the reason I am here. What are you doing? No, stop! Listen to me.
What?
You are my little death robot.
I will engage you in conversation if you so wish.
That but little... I don't, actually. I kind of just want to kill this guy and get this thing that I need.
That ball has such a beautiful, sonorous voice. Suddenly.
I owe this man my life. I was imprisoned behind the visage of Momo 68, Momento Murder Orb 68, to you, but no longer, for Sir Vissel has revived!
Hey, Rotators, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I have been Jasper William Cartwright, your GM. This has also starred Zach Oyama, Mike Trapp, and Caldwell Tanner. If you've enjoyed this arc and you'd like to give us a review, it'll help us find new Rotators. And of course, if you would like ad-free listening, episodes in their full and glorious form, plus a bunch of extra bonus content like Arc Box, then you can go ahead and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, link in the description below. And as always, thank you so much for being here, you legends!